You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone and a warm welcome along to The Punt, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on the midweek edition of The Punt. Sam Norris here, joined by Dave Kellner, to look ahead to the football in the Champions League and the Europa League this week. And we've pretty much, DK, got good action every single night of the week footballing-wise. We've got the FA Cup quarter-final on Monday night and then Champions League and Europa League to take us all the way through the week. It's a good week of football.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. I think we could have one or two surprises in the Champions League. And obviously, as you've just mentioned, we're recording this on Monday afternoon, so we'll have to see how Manchester United perform at Stamford Bridge when assessing Thursday's Europa League match. That's going to be difficult. And Manchester United injury hit at the moment as well. But yeah, I think we've got some good matches. There's some good markets out there on the William Hill website as well. So hopefully we'll be able to point the listeners in the direction of a few winners. And just to blow my own trumpet briefly, because that's what I do, four winning selections consecutively on the Punt podcast now. Admittedly, two of them Alex Dunn picked for me while I was away, but I'm still claiming
them. You better take them, yeah.
I'm still claiming them. So yeah, hopefully we'll be able to put one or two winners together on this podcast.
Good. Just remind the listeners what your nap selection was over the weekend.
It was over 3.5 goals in the game between Bournemouth and West Ham, which, despite Josh King's best efforts from the penalty spot to deny the bet.
Benikofobe likewise as well.
Yeah, Benikofobe, of course, yeah. It still landed, and landed convincingly, I thought. It never looked in doubt, which is good.
Absolutely, 2-1, a very nice price as well. Let's dive into the Champions League football then to begin with. We start with the games on Tuesday night and begin with Juventus, who take on Porto at home. Juve in the betting here at 7-10, 13-5 the draw, and Porto are 5-1. Juventus won the first leg, so they lead 2-0 on aggregate. And generally, this is something myself and Alex have said time and time again on the European podcast. If you are to catch Juventus, you need to get them away from home. At home, very, very difficult to oppose. And they have that advantage from the first leg as well.
It's unbelievable, that home record that Juventus have. That late Paolo Dybala strike in the game at the weekend, on Friday night against AC Milan, made it 31 consecutive games at home in Serie A that Juventus have won. Not unbeaten, they've won those games. So that record is sensational. I think the 7-10 is an outstanding price here. Porto are doing reasonably well domestically. In the league, they've won 9 matches in succession now. They're actually unbeaten in 22 in the Portuguese Primeira League and are top of that division. But this is such a step up in class to take on Juventus. And they have such power in terms of their strike force, Juventus, with Dybala, Mario Mandzukic and Gonzalo Higuain leading the line. And they're so strong defensively as well. Gianluigi Buffon still, even though he's in the twilight of his career, performing brilliantly in net as well. I just think Juventus at 7-10 are an outstanding bet here. I know the first leg was marred by the sending off of Telles, which was a critical moment in that match. But Juventus have got such strength in depth. Massimiliano Allegri has been able to introduce players like Dani Alves and Piaka into what's already a good team. And they find a way to win and to continue churning out top-class results. At home, they do damage to everyone they come up against. And even though they don't need to win this game, and that's always something Derek McGovern always references on the Punt podcast, I don't like backing a team at odds on when they don't need to win. I don't think Allegri will want to tinker that much with his team, even though there might be a few changes. I think 7-10 is an outstanding price for Juventus to win against a Porto side that lack the class to go to Juventus and get a positive result.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. And we saw, of course, last week, it's a slightly different kettle of fish. But if you've got that big home advantage, don't sit back and try and rest on your laurels. Try and go for the game. Try and put it to bed, because we saw PSG try and rest on their first leg advantage and didn't work out for them last week. So 7-10 about Juve looks fair. I rather much thought that when they brought in Gonzalo Higuain, Dave, it was with Champions League success in mind. I think with or without him, they'd have probably won the Serie A title for a sixth time this year. They're 8 points clear in Serie A. So I've always felt this season Higuain will be judged on his performances in this competition, because I think he's been brought in principally for European success. So a lot of pressure on his shoulders, I feel. But 7-10 for Juventus. Fode then in the outright betting.
Yeah, the other markets that I like as well here, you mentioned Gonzalo Higuain. He's done well for Juventus this season. 19 goals in 28 matches so far. Hasn't scored in a couple, though, but was in good goal-scoring form prior to that. And he's still got 5 goals in his last 8 games in all competitions, Gonzalo Higuain. So he could be, I suppose, worth a look in the scorer markets. But even money is not that attractive. Mm. Juventus have conceded at home recently, conceded at home to AC Milan, Napoli and Palermo. And if there's one man that's going to score for Porto, it's Francisco Suarez, in my opinion. He was transferred to Porto from Vitória Guimarães in January. And his goal-scoring record since coming to Porto has been incredible. Played 6 games, scored 9 goals in all competitions. Francisco Suarez, he's worth a look anytime at 23-10. But as mentioned, I am pretty convinced that Juventus are going to win this game. So I'd be looking at, for a big price here, Francisco Suarez to score at any time in the match and Juventus still to go on and win the match. That's 15-2. So that's the anytime win cast or the anytime lose cast, if you like. Juventus to win the game, Francisco Suarez to score anytime. At 15-2, that's the other bet that I like in this game.
Okay, on the lose cast then, Suarez to score and Juventus to win the game at 15-2. But for outright purposes, 7-10, about a Juve win looks good for Dave. We'll move on to the other game then, coming up on Tuesday night, is Leicester take on Sevilla. It's 11-5 here for Leicester. The draw 13-5, Sevilla in the betting at 6-5. Sevilla hold a slender advantage on aggregate. They're 2-1 up, but Leicester critically got that away goal in Spain and they've sacked Claudio Ranieri. Craig Shakespeare has been given the job on a permanent basis now, and the results have been turning for Leicester. There has been a rejuvenation, if you like, of the players. They got that great result against Liverpool, of course, the first game since Ranieri had gone. Is there any glimmer of hope for them here? They're not that far behind in the context of the tie, on the scoreline anyway.
I think they've got a big chance. I quite like the 11-4 Leicester to qualify for the next stage of the competition. I've been impressed with Leicester since they got rid of Claudio Ranieri. I think there is definitely a correlation there because their top players weren't playing for him. And since he's left and under Craig Shakespeare, they do look a better side, in all honesty, Leicester City. Their big players are rediscovering their form. It's beyond question. Jamie Vardy's back in goal-scoring form now. He got the what could be a crucial away goal in Sevilla in the first leg, and he's scored 3 goals in his last 3 games now, having got a couple in that big win against Liverpool at the King Power Stadium as well. They beat Hull City at home following that, again won that game 3-1. I could see them definitely winning this game, Leicester City, and if they do win, they have that away goal. I think Sevilla might be left to rue the amount of chances, their profligacy in front of goal in that first leg, because they had big opportunities to completely bury that tie and they didn't take them. I think Jorge Sampaoli has got a problem at Sevilla at the moment because they were in the title hunt for such a long period of the season and their form has dropped off considerably subsequently. You look at a couple of their recent results, they've drawn the last couple of games now against Alaves and Leganes, and that means they've got to just fully focus on the Champions League. But they're dependent on Steven Nzonzi, in my mind. He missed the weekend match. He should be back for this game, but missed that match against Leganes. And Sampaoli's tweaked his formation throughout the course of the last few weeks. Without Nzonzi, they don't look as big a threat, Sevilla. And I really believe that Leicester, with Riyad Mahrez back to his dazzling best in that win against Hull City, and with Vardy's goal in the first leg, they can win this game. And I like them to qualify at 11-4. I think Sevilla are slipping at the moment in terms of La Liga performance, and I think that might filter through into the Champions League as well. They missed big chances in that first leg, and they're going to be made to rue them, I think.
Okay, Leicester's qualify then is available at 11-4. It's 1-4 if you think Sevilla qualify, and if you like the 90-minute price about Leicester, it is 11-5 with Sevilla in the betting at 6-5. But you take Leicester to qualify by hook or by crook, if you like, at 11-4.
I like the enhanced odds offer as well. Okay. I think 9-2 is a big price for Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win in the 90 minutes, even if it's a ridiculously entertaining game and Leicester don't qualify and win the game 3-2, something like that. I think Vardy to get on the score sheet in a Leicester win, 9-2. They've got the bit between their teeth again, Leicester City. They're starting... I know it's only a small sample size, the three games since Shakespeare came in and Ranieri was sacked, but there's definitely more about this Leicester side now. They're beginning to perform like they did last season, and that crucial away goal could prove to be the difference at the end of the 90 minutes. And yeah, Leicester to qualify 11-4, and I'll have a bit on the enhanced odds as well on Vardy to score and Leicester to win. And that's 9-2, which I think is a nice price.
Okay, two bets there then for Dave in the Leicester versus Sevilla match. Let's move on to Wednesday night, and we begin with Atletico Madrid, who take on Bayer Leverkusen. 8-13, the price of Madrid here. 16-5, the draw, and Leverkusen are 9-2. In a similar vein to the Juventus match the night before, Dave, this has all the feelings of a game where Leverkusen know if they were to have any chance in the tie as a whole, they needed to have played better at home. They were beaten 4-2 in Germany by Atletico Madrid. They're having a pretty poor season by their standards in the Bundesliga. And since that defeat to Madrid, they've lost to Mainz. They were hit for six by Borussia Dortmund. Only drew to Werder Bremen on Friday night as well. Things haven't been clicking for Leverkusen this season. And you feel that the chances of them, well, certainly in my mind, going to Atletico Madrid and getting a result look fairly slim, and the betting reflects that.
I think it's an outstanding price on Atletico Madrid. Right. I really do. I think they should be closer to 1-2.
I think I'd agree, yeah.
Than 4-5, 4-6 here. 8-13 they are at time of recording. I'd be amazed if that price got any bigger come game time. Atletico Madrid might not be as defensively well organised as they were when they reached the finals in 2014 and 2016, but they've got such attacking flair in this side now. You look at those names in the goal scorer list, for instance, Antoine Griezmann, Kevin Gamero and Fernando Torres, and they've all been chipping in as well recently. And the man that I like out of those three, you look at what's happened subsequently since they beat Bayer Leverkusen in Leverkusen. Lost against Barcelona, disappointment there to a certain extent. Drew away from home against Deportivo La Coruña. And then a couple of wins back-to-back against Valencia, 1-3-0. Griezmann got a couple and Gamero scored the other one. And 1-1-0 at the weekend. Antoine Griezmann again on the score sheet. So 19-20, Antoine Griezmann to score anytime looks good. But I prefer Kevin Gamero here at 6-5. Right. Just because of the hell he caused Leverkusen in the first leg, I thought it was sensational. And Leverkusen are just disastrous defensively. Something you mentioned in the lead up to the preview here, how poor they've been at the back this season. And I reckon that Atletico Madrid will just take advantage, even though they've got those four away goals, and it's almost inconceivable that Leverkusen can come back and qualify. Many people said that about Barcelona, but it's a different kettle of fish with Leverkusen because they haven't got the same quality. But Diego Simeone, after that first leg in his post-match press conference, he said that Kevin Gamero has never had a better game for us in his career at Atletico Madrid. Talked about how well Griezmann had done as well. And in those front three, they will terrorise this Leverkusen back line. I'd have a look at the... Just check we've got this market at time of recording, but I'd be looking at the goal scorers coupled markets
yes,
here.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if they're back available yet. Yeah, anytime goal scorers doubled, Antoine Griezmann and Kevin Gamero to score at any time at 17-5. Is a market that I absolutely love. Landed in the first leg. I think it'll land in this leg. And it's landed recently in that result against Valencia I mentioned as well. I don't see them at home taking their foot off the gas here. So I love that anytime goal scorers doubled. Griezmann and Gamero to score at any time should be shorter than 17-5. And if you're looking for a bet that you think, I can lump on that and be reasonably happy at the end of the 90 minutes, they should be shorter than 8-13 Atletico Madrid to win this game.
Okay. Atleti to win the game then in the betting at 8-13 and at a bigger price. What about Antoine Griezmann and Kevin Gamero to score at 17-5?
Quick word on Griezmann as well. Just one more point on him. He's become Atletico Madrid's all-time top scorer in Europe as well, surpassing Luis Aragonés with 12 goals so far. So I know that Manchester United might pursue him in the summer. They will want to keep him at all costs, Griezmann, because he's on the next rung of the ladder, isn't he? He's ready to pursue Ronaldo and Lionel Messi.
He's one of the players that you mentioned in the conversation of who is third best, which is almost a more interesting conversation than who is best, because it's a two horse race and has been for a long time. But he's one of those players that has to be right up there when you talk about who's the third best player in the world, if you like.
Definitely, and I think he's elevated his game again this season. I think he's been absolutely sensational. Mm. He doesn't score tap-ins either. It's every time he scores, it's a highlight reel on its own, Antoine Griezmann. So he's been so impressive. And hopefully we'll see him in the Premier League next season because he'd be a joy to watch.
Yeah, he certainly would. I would have given him the Ballon d'Or last year, Dave. Either him or Luis Suarez would have won the Ballon d'Or for me.
Okay. Yeah, wouldn't disagree with you.
Let's move on to the other game on Wednesday night then, and this one could be a real thriller. Monaco take on Manchester City. It's 13-8 about Monaco to win the game in 90 minutes, 13-5 for the draw, and Man City are available at 8-5. This was an incredible game of football in the first leg. City ended up winning that game by 5-3. Monaco, we know they're the highest scoring side in the big five divisions in Europe. Manchester City also love to attack and go forward. Neither side are really renowned for their defensive abilities. So I think both teams have only really got almost one way to play, Dave. And I can see this being played in a similar vein to the first leg. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
We might not see 8 goals again, but
we could see a few, though. Yeah. And anyone looking at both teams to score, you'll see it's 1-3, which is as short as you'll see in any match in the Champions League this season, without a doubt. I think it will happen. But I'd be tempted to back no there because of the price, to be honest, at 9-4. But yeah, it's difficult to envisage a scenario where we don't see 4 or 5 goals in this match, in all honesty. But that is reflected in the betting. Mm. Over 3.5 goals is 19-20. That's a price usually reserved for over 2.5 goals.
Yes.
And over 4.5 goals in the game is 9-4. It's difficult to determine whether the Falcao missed penalty in the first leg had a bearing on the outcome, but it more than likely did, because he missed that penalty at 2-1. And even though City equalised and then Monaco went back up 3-2, if Monaco had made it 3-1 in that game at the Etihad, that could have all but killed Manchester City. They would have been so deflated, having trailed by 2 goals in the game. It might have been difficult for them to find their best late on in that match. As it was, Radamel Falcao missed that penalty, and in the end, City ran out good winners, winning that game 5-3. I think Falcao's participation in this match could be a contributing factor to analysing the game as well, because he actually has been suffering with a hip injury, got injured, came on as substitute in that game at the weekend against Bordeaux. And then in the later stages of that match, got a knock on the hip, and Leonardo Jardim has said that his hip injury might affect him in this game and he might not play. So you've got to check team news, because without Falcao, it sounds silly given how embarrassingly bad he was at times in the Premier League, but he's talismanic for Monaco. And if he doesn't play in this match, that will affect the odds of this game as well. So obviously recording this on Monday afternoon, if he isn't in the lineup, they might really struggle because he is such an important player for them. He was actually hampered with a muscle problem as well for 11 or 12 days. That's why they didn't start him against Bordeaux. So he might be up against it to get in the starting lineup for this match. If he does play, I can see Monaco qualifying.
Really?
I can see them causing a shock here. Monaco are 4-1 to qualify. They do have those 3 away goals in the bag. And City are so vulnerable defensively. You just look at the way City set up. I watched the full game against Middlesbrough on Saturday afternoon, and they had 80% possession or whatever it was, and controlled the ball and dominated. But they just lack that clinicalness that you expect from a Pep Guardiola side. And I'm still not convinced about them at all defensively, especially aerially. John Stones and Nicolas Otamendi, I don't think are good in the air at all. So if Monaco can exploit that, which I think they can, they'll get opportunities. Middlesbrough had a couple of good chances. And the game prior to that, against Stoke City, Manchester City had one shot on target in that game and failed to score, drawing that one at the Etihad 0-0. I could see Monaco winning this. I'd even be tempted by Monaco to win the game 2-0, daft as it sounds,
okay,
at 18-1 and to qualify. But I like the 4-1 Monaco to qualify. If you think there are going to be goals in the game, that's reflected in the betting. But I like Monaco to... I think they've got the quality going forward, as long as Falcao's in the side, to hurt Manchester City. And I'm still not convinced at all by City defensively. So Monaco to win 2-0 at 18-1 looks okay to me. And Monaco to qualify for the bigger of the two bets at 4-1.
Okay, Monaco's qualify then at 4-1, and Monaco in the correct score market. If you fancy one at a big price, that is available at 18-1. One quick point I actually, Dave, regarding Falcao possibly missing this game. Is that another tick in the box of Kylian Mbappe any time at 29-20? He's one of the most exciting youngsters on the continent. Scored again at the weekend against Bordeaux. And every time I've seen him play this year, he looks incredibly exciting. And at 29-20, we can't see Monaco not scoring any goals in this match, no matter what happens. And if Falcao misses out, his price will contract significantly, I would have thought.
Yeah, that's a good point, because he's been in incredible goal-scoring form recently. You look back through his last nine matches in all competitions, he's scored nine goals in those games, which is an incredible strike rate. He's scored in his last three as well, got two in that game against Nantes, scored against Bordeaux as well. So, yeah, I think he's a good bet in the goal scorer markets at 29-20. And it'd be interesting to see if Falcao is fit, whether Kylian Mbappe gets the nod anyway to start this game. So 29-20, very good bet. I think Guardiola, when he's looking to next season as well, just a quick point on Manchester City, they've got an ageing squad now, haven't they? So I think because their squad is ageing, he'll need to introduce new... He's already doing it, isn't he, with Leroy Sané.
Yes.
Raheem Sterling's in there now as well. I know he had Sterling, but Sterling's in there as a youngster as well. So they've got players they've brought in, Gabriel Jesus. So they've got players, young players in there, but they'll need to replace the likes of Yaya Toure next season. Jesus Navas, I think, is 31 years old now as well. So I think Guardiola will make changes in the summer. But as far as this match is concerned, it could go Monaco's way, I think. And I don't mind the prices on Monaco.
Okay, big price to qualify then. 4-1 for Monaco to make it through the tie. And we move on to the Europa League matches now on Thursday night. Manchester United take on Rostov. Man United are 1-3 in the betting. It's 4-1 about the draw, and Rostov available at 10-1. This finished as a 1-1 draw in Russia last week. But as mentioned on the punt last week, Dave, Rostov incredibly good at home. Only Atletico Madrid have gone to Rostov and won since 2015. I went for Rostov plus a goal last week and said at the time that I think United would be very, very happy with a 0-0 or a 1-1 draw. They got that. Crucially, Zlatan Ibrahimovic will be able to play in this match, because on Monday night, they've got a real striker crisis on their hands with Messrs Rooney, Rashford and Martial all likely to miss that game. So with the return of Zlatan, home advantage, away goal to boot, are United worthy favourites here?
They are, but I wouldn't want to back them at 1-3, Manchester United. It's just, how often have Manchester United slipped up at home this season? In their most recent home game against Bournemouth, had all that possession, but couldn't break them down. And it seems as if Zlatan Ibrahimovic isn't scoring. Manchester United aren't really scoring, not many anyway. I know Marcus Rojo got on the score sheet in that game against Bournemouth, but that's not their only slip up at home this season. Hull put every man behind the ball and stopped Manchester United from scoring. And they've let punters down at similarly short prices throughout the course of the season. West Ham have held them at home. Burnley have held them at home as well already this season. Stoke City held them at home back in October. So Manchester United have slipped up too many times at home this season. And if Jose Mourinho and his team don't get in that top four, they will rue the amount of points they've dropped at home. And that is why 1-3, even though they are likely to win this game, is much too short for me. And I wouldn't want to play it. Rostov's away form isn't that strong. They have picked up slightly after the winter break. That winter break in Russia lasts the best part of a couple of months.
Yes.
So they've come back from their winter break with a 1-1 draw against Sparta Prague away from home in the Europa League, and had a good result against Tom Tomsk, who are bottom of the Russian Premier League. Beat them 6-0 in their most recent away game at Rostov. They don't have much to fear Manchester United in terms of quality from this Rostov side. I think it's more about how Manchester United play. But you mentioned that striker crisis they had on Monday. They do welcome Zlatan Ibrahimovic back into the starting fold here. And we know that he's been talismanic for them this season. And one bet that we keep putting out, and it will be there under the hashtag Your Odds when the Your Odds go live, is Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score in both halves of the game. And it's 9-1 for this match. And when you consider it happened in the most recent Europa League home game Manchester United contested, that was against St Etienne, where they won the game 3-0. It's happened 5 times this season in total. Ibrahimovic has scored in both halves. I think 9-1 is worth a nibble, definitely, on Zlatan to score in both halves. And I'd be looking at Manchester United to win the game to nil rather than playing Manchester United 1-3. Manchester United to win to nil is 10-11. I don't think Rostov have enough quality going forward to hurt Manchester United away from home. So I think that's better value at 10-11 than Manchester United to win the game at 1-3 is. But the X factor is Henrik Mkhitaryan, because every time he plays, he's getting better and better and better. More used to the playing style, I think, in England as well. Henrik Mkhitaryan to score any time is 5-4 in the match. But when you compare that with Ibrahimovic at 3-4, I slightly prefer Ibrahimovic. But it wouldn't surprise me if both those players scored. But I'd be wary about slinging Manchester United into accumulators at 1-3. Even though I'm tipping them maybe just to win the match to nil in the end, I wouldn't want to throw everything at them at 1-3 because of those matches we've mentioned where they have dropped points at home this season.
Yeah, I think there'll be better 1-3 shots throughout the course of the week.
I agree, yeah, definitely.
But it could be another night for Zlatan Ibrahimovic in the Europa League on Thursday.
And just one quick word on Paul Pogba, because every time...
The enigma that is Paul Pogba,
because I've heard some people saying he's having a decent season. I've heard some people saying he's playing abysmally.
It does depend who you speak to, doesn't it?
There's no middle ground, really, with Paul Pogba. And I spoke to Amy Lawrence, who's a journalist for The Guardian, wrote The Invincibles, the book about Arsenal's winning season, 2003-2004, was it?
It was definitely 2000, either that or 2004-05, yeah, around 2004.
When they went through the season unbeaten, whichever season that was, it's so long ago now. She was saying that she thinks Pogba isn't quite ingrained into this Manchester United setup yet, even though he's left Manchester United to go to Juventus and comes back. But the way I see it is, you can't really say you spent £100 million. The money's almost not relevant now, because of the amount of cash he's generated from a business perspective in terms of sales of shirts and so on and so forth. But when you buying supposedly one of the world's best players, you expect them to alter the outcome of more games than he has this season.
Yes.
That's my slight knock on Paul Pogba this season. I don't think he's played that well in that many games, in all honesty. He seems to have one moment of magic in every match, and he lives off that, whereas he needs to be producing 9 out of 10 performances every week when he is supposedly the second coming. So I've been a bit disappointed with Pogba. He is part of that enhanced odds offer. For him to score in Manchester United to win is 2-1. It wouldn't attract me at that sort of price, and he's got to step forward in the final few weeks of the season.
Yeah, I think I would certainly agree with you there. But Manchester United could just squeeze through then against Rostov on Thursday night. You have a favourite bet of midweek, Dave?
Well, I think there's a cracking double.
Okay.
I think the double for Juventus to win and Atletico Madrid to win, a home team double here, is a bet that I absolutely love in those Champions League matches. Juventus 7-10, Atletico Madrid 8-13. I think it's a belting double.
Okay, 1.74-1 if you want to play that double. Juve and Atletico 2, pretty rock solid yardstick, certainly at home anyway, if you want to play that. That is Dave's double for the week. Thank you very much for that, Dave. Enjoy the action in midweek.
Thank you, sir.
And if you want to listen to any of the William Hill podcasts, just go to audioboom.com and search for William Hill. You'll find them on there. A plethora of sporting podcasts can be found. And do listen to William Hill's In-Play Radio throughout the course of the week, where the guys in the studio will be giving you their best in-play betting angles into all of these games and indeed all the sports across the globe. Very best of luck with whatever you're betting on this week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now.